Thank you. The first bill, or the next bill for our consideration, will be Senate File 60. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 60 from the Transportation Committee, an act relating to the titling of vehicles, granting authority to the Game and Fish to perform vehicle identification number inspections as specified, authorizing a fee for VIN inspections performed by Game and Fish law enforcement personnel, directing the deposit of the fee and providing for an effective date. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom was referred Senate File 60, then Inspection Authority, Game and Fish, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. There are 9 ayes, 0 noes, signed by Representative Dave Zwanisser, Chairman.
You heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Zwanisser?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, to do so with the recommendation that Senate File 60 do pass. There are no standing committee amendments, and I'd like to turn the bill over to the representative from the far western part of the state in House District 21.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I bring to you a bill that is trying to simplify the life of the citizens of Wyoming. It's quite easy to read if you'll turn on page 2. Right now, if you wanted your inspection of your trailer, you have to go to your clerks or to a port of entry. If you want the inspection on your hull of your motorcraft or your watercraft, such as your boat or whatever, you have to go to the Game and Fish. This bill simply allows them, when the boat and the trailer are together, to go to a Game and Fish and have them both inspected. And that way it saves that individual from running back and forth trying to get those two inspections. So on page 2, it says, while performing identification number, which is a VIN, by the way, and if perform, the hull of the identification number, which is the HIN, that if they're both together, it allows the Game and Fish to make that inspection. It's very simple on that point. Page 3, if you look on page 9 up there, once again, it just identifies the VIN and the HIN. And it says that there's a fee of $10. The $10 then is appropriated to the Game and Fish since they're the ones doing the inspections. Any questions on the bill?
Is there any other discussion on the bill? Question being called. All of those in favor of Chairman Zwanisser's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with recommendation that Senate File Number 60 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
Senate File 60 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 41. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 41 from Minerals Committee, an act relating to the Select Federal Natural Resource Management Committee, modifying criteria for membership and duties of the committee, providing a definition and providing for an effective date. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 9, Minerals Business and Economic Development, to whom was referred Senate File 41, Select Federal Natural Resource Management Committee, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. There were 8 ayes, 1 no, signed by Representative Lockhart, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Lockhart?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with a recommendation that Senate File 41 do pass. And I'll turn the explanation over to the good representative from the county that's number one in your heart and number one on your license plate.
Mr. Majority Whip.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This bill you'll recognize as sort of a cousin of a bill that we saw a little bit earlier this session. And what it does is it takes the issue of public lands, federal public lands, and the state's acquisition of those lands, and instead of putting it in its own select committee, it places the subject within the authority of the Select Federal Natural Resource Management Committee, which we set up last year. And so you'll remember when we discussed this earlier this session, we talked about this issue and set up a specific select committee to deal with it. This is a different approach on the same subject. And so I would expect, though, who knows, that if we go ahead and move forward with this, we probably won't see the other bill again. So, but to give you a little bit of a description on what the bill does, if you look on the last page, on page 4, it talks about what are public lands, and it specifies that we're not talking about national parks, we're not talking about national monuments or wilderness areas, but we are talking about those other federal lands that are held within the state. And as the good representative from Fremont County talked about a little bit earlier this session, there's been a great deal of work going on among other western states, our sister states, on this issue, both on the legal front, on the congressional front, to say, what can we do to give our state more authority and more control over those lands? And ultimately, what can we do to be put on an equal footing to those states immediately to the east of us who did receive their public lands and did receive control over their public lands? And so what the select committee would do is deal with many of the same issues that we saw in the other bill, but talk about, you know, how do we structure that transfer of lands? Are we talking about just the surface? Are we talking about subsurface and mineral rights? What sort of management criteria will we have for those lands? And looking ahead, what sort of legislation do we need in place in our statutes to facilitate that transfer if we're ever successful in making it come about? And again, you know, this is an effort that a lot of states are looking at, a lot of resources are being poured into, and we as a state really need to be thinking ahead and at least prepared to join on board with those other states, and so that we have a chance to reap the rewards of their work if success comes about. So that's a very quick rundown of the bill, but I'd answer any questions or have some of the other speakers speak to it.
Representative Miller, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On and for the bill, this isn't a companion bill to the one we had earlier. This is one option we have to put it in an existing select committee, or our other bill made a new select committee. I haven't seen them moving that bill forward yet. Maybe they're still asleep over there from lunch or what, but we need to move this forward just to make sure we have some committee looking at this and cooperating with the other western states. There's a lot of momentum moving forward. It's a long-term process, so I encourage you to vote aye.
Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a question and then a kudos. The question is, our county has dealt with, and not just our county, but surrounding the Bighorn Basin, has been working with several federal agencies on resource management plans, and it's been a long and arduous process and successful and unsuccessful. And I'm wondering how this is going to fit into that process where county commissioners become one of the partners at the table to be able to negotiate what happens on those public lands that are within the county boundaries. And as a side note, I have an unidentified resting object that was left on my desk if anybody would like to claim it. Otherwise, I'm going to just throw it away.
Representative Stubson.
Mr. Chairman, maybe to answer that last question, that's one of the reasons why I think this fits so well with the Federal Natural Resource Select Committee, because we have those efforts on RMPs really started a couple years ago under the guidance of the good chair from Minerals, where we spent a lot of time in the Minerals Committee talking about having the agencies come in and talk to us about it and coordinating feedback on those resource management plans. When the select committee was passed, that baton really passed to the select committee. And so this last year, we've continued that work. And really, every meeting we've had, we've talked about RMPs. We've talked about coordinating that feedback. We've had the county commissioners in and really, I think, increased that cooperation between the state and the counties on these issues, which has been critical. And so as we're talking about a transfer of these federal lands and we're talking about those local communities that are going to be most impacted by a transfer of these lands, it makes sense to put them in the select committee where we're already, we have those relationships going, we have that process going, and it just fits very nicely with the work that we've been doing already.
Is there any other discussion on the bill? Oh, Representative Gay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Sort of a general question here. We're considering public lands and state owning surface rights, subsurface rights, managing other surface or subsurface, or both for other ownership and management. My question to anybody involved in the bill is, was access to these lands considered? My point being, what's the point of taking ownership of land if you don't have legal access to it? Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The goal of the task force on the public lands and the goal of this select committee or the other select committee is always to recognize all valid existing rights. So if there's a landlocked section of public lands now, it may be an issue the same as it is now in the future. But again, the underlying goal always is to recognize all valid existing rights, whether it is access to the public lands for recreationists, whether it's the ag leaser of the surface rights for grazing, whether it's the mineral leasee for oil and gas. It's going to be really complicated to figure all this out, but we have to. That's one of the premises, is to recognize all valid existing rights.
Representative Gay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just to make sure that, for instance, if a surface user grazing leaseholder, for instance, has motor vehicle access to the land, and a different type user, a subsurface user, or, you know, we're into the split of state thing, would they have the exact same access to, or would there be certain restrictions imposed on users in the split estate situation?
Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Again, whatever is recognized now, if you have to go across private land, there has to be an existing easement to do that. Whether that would apply in the future depends on what that easement says. Every one of those could be different. Again, whatever, if it's public surface and public minerals, and there's county access or public road access, there will still be public road access in the future.
Representative Gay, you good? Representative Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Certainly a topic that a lot of people have interest in. I'd like to point out there are ways to actually accomplish this now, and in my family circumstance, we actually did this, reduced not just public lands, but increased private lands in the state of Wyoming within the last 15 years. There are mechanisms available to do this. I hope that if this committee will advance those issues as well and advocate for those as well. So I would first say that. Second of all, as a member of a citizen legislature, it seems like with all the new the select committees we have, it's becoming more and more difficult to be a citizen legislator when we have so many opportunities to be in all these committees. So as a matter of management, I hope we take that into consideration with the numerous committees, new committees we continually add to, and then the time it takes to be here. Thank you.
Is there any other discussion on the bill? Are you ready for the question? Question being called. All of those in favor of Chairman Lockhart's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, you do so with the recommendation that Senate file number 41 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
Senate file 41 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate file 43. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 43 from the Minerals Committee, An act relating to prioritization of municipal solid waste facilities, cease and transfer projects, authorizing expenditure of previously appropriated funds, establishing a prioritized list of projects, establishing a maximum amount to be expended on the project listed, authorizing the Department of Environmental Quality limited discretionary authority to modify the prioritized list, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, to whom was referred Senate File 43 engrossed, prioritization of municipal solid waste facility projects, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with following amendments. There were 9 aye votes, 0 no votes, and it's signed by Representative Lockhart, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Lockhart?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, that it do so with a recommendation that Senate File 43 do pass, and I'd like to turn the explanation of the Senate file over to our good representative from House District 27.
Would you like to move the standing committee amendment as well, Chairman Lockhart?
I think,
Mr. Speaker, I can move that.
I have an engrossed bill. Well, let's go to him.
Okay. Representative Greer.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. What I'd like to do begin with here is I'll move standing committee amendment number 1 to Senate File 43. Just a brief explanation on the standing committee amendment. When you look in here, what we were trying to do, last year we appropriated is $550,000 divided, I think $4,500,000 for the cease and transfer program. $4 million was grants. The rest was for loans. That was appropriated, but it was held pending this prioritization list, which is the bill. And so this Senate File 43 came out. As we're looking at it, and when you look at it on page 2, line 18, what we had is that this prioritization list was going to apply to those funds that only those funds that were appropriated last year. Well, if you recall, if anybody can recall, from Friday, the budget we passed has an additional $15 million for the cease and transfer program, $10 million for grants, $5 million for loans. What the Standing Committee Amendment does is allows us to use the appropriation from last year plus any other appropriations or funds that are put into the Municipal Solid Waste Cease Transfer Program. We just wanted to make that clear. That's the Standing Committee Amendment, and I'd like to go ahead and call the question on that unless there are any further discussion.
Question having been called, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The Standing Committee Amendment number 1 has been adopted. We're back on the bill. Representative Greer.
Hey, Mr. Chairman, Senate File 43, in my opinion, was not needed because this House had moved this through last year without any problems. But the Senate held it up and wanted this prioritization list. And so what you have here is a list of all of the projects or landfills in the state that go through, that are prioritized for cease and transfer, for the cease and transfer program. And I've got a lot of questions on why is my landfill where it is. One of the major focuses on this list was when a landfill's permit was due to expire, and the likelihood of that landfill enlarging. Or did it make sense to go ahead and go to a cease and transfer program? The agency put these in order. They also, in a discussion we had in committee, off on the right-hand column is the maximum amount. These are estimates, but what has come through to this point is this maximum amount. Keeping in mind that maximum amount is 100%, that the program is only for 75%. There's still a 25% match. So all this is the final component
to getting the cease and transfer program off and running, which will be ready this spring. And with that, I'll take any questions that we may have.
Chairman Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a quick question. So if it's a 75% grant, or up to a 75% grant, so if the community can't come up with their 25%, does DEQ then have permission to move on to the next one in line? So let's say it appears number one there is the town of Wheatland. So if Wheatland couldn't come up with their 25%, do they then move to Saratoga and go to them next in line?
Representative Greer.
Mr. Chairman, great question. And the answer is yes, but it isn't DEQ. It's actually the State Lands Investment Board is who's handling these programs, receiving the applications and prioritizing those. And I'm going to say this without having read the final rules on this, but my understanding is if you're not ready, you go to the next one on the list. You will notice that one of the, why we have an engrossed copy, is one of the restrictions that was put on an amendment in the other house was that this program could not go past the 21st listed project. And what I understand the reason for that is they want them to come back and report to the legislature again. So this, we will not be done hearing this particular subject. Maybe some of us will, but.
Yeah. Chairman Zwanisser, talking trash.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just. Just a question on the logistics. Is there just one crew that's going to be in the state and they're going to go through them landfill to landfill, or could we have three or four going on at one time? Because as we're doing them one at a time, it might take a long time.
Representative Greer.
Mr. Chairman, again, another good question. These will be local initiatives in terms of that is a landfill, whether that's through a solid waste district or done through a county or a community, will make a decision that we're not going to try to continue our permit. What we want to do is take advantage of this program, and what by doing that, we're going to set up the facilities to receive the waste, put it on a truck, and haul it to another landfill. So that, and they're going to cease operations in their landfill. And as you look through this list, some of these are simply the capping component of this. So what we're doing with this program is we are accelerating the remediation of the landfill problem that we have in the state. And we're doing this by local decision, and in some ways what we're doing is allowing from the local standpoint to allow those entities to make their own decisions to move more towards the regionalization of the landfills without being heavy-handed. In my opinion, this is just wonderful legislation that really helps our small communities. I like it. What can I say? Excited about it.
Any other discussion on the bill? Representative Yeagy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As you look through this list and the amount of money that we're spending and a little bit hindsight, could you explain who came up with the rules that these are going to, and how did they end up being forced to close? And each one of these, and this is quite an undertaking for our state, but a little bit late in asking, how did each one of these be determined that they're not good and we've got to move it somewhere? And is the funding for this, is this going to be, when this is done, the transfer of the solid waste, is that going to be back on the city, the county, the entity? Could you explain that a little bit?
Representative Greer, please.
Mr. Chairman, and to the last speaker, what I'd like to have you do is go back and look at House Bill 66. Because House Bill 66 shows the whole program. Okay, so that'll answer some of your questions, and I'll go with this. One, and I think it's very important for everyone to understand, no one's being told to close. What we're saying is that here is a program that is available. If you live in a community, and again, whether that's a city, county, or a district, and you're looking at the problems that you're facing with your landfill, this program is available for you to receive some assistance to move to a cease or to a transfer station. Also, a component of that is when we talk about the cease operations. Within House Bill 66, if you look at it, we have a list of requirements. As you'll cease operating as a landfill, you'll show financial responsibility, and that is the ability to continue with your capital sinking funds, and that, you know, it's only appropriate that the chairman of appropriations has dropped some garbage on the podium while I was talking. each district will still be responsible for managing the waste in their district, but instead of putting it into a landfill in the ground, it will go to another landfill. So hopefully I answered all those questions.
Is there any other discussion on this bill? Are you ready for the question? Question having been called, all those in favor of Chairman Lockhart's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with recommendation that Senate File 43 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Senate File 43 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 51. The clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 51 is introduced by Senator Bubat, an act relating to workers' compensation, clarifying eligibility for elective coverage of corporate officers, members of a limited liability company, general partners, and sole proprietors, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom is referred Senate File 51, Workers' Compensation Coverage, reports back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. There were 8 ayes, 1 no, signed by Representative Harvey, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Harvey?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Senate File 51 do pass. There are no standing committee amendments, and I will turn this explanation over to the fine sponsor from Fremont County.
Representative Mueller.
Thank you, Madam Chairman, or Mr. Chairman, and Madam Chairman. This is a workers' comp coverage bill. Prior to 2004, individuals, sole proprietors, limited liability corporations, and frankly any corporation that only had one person in it, basically the owner-operator, were covered by workers' comp. There was a court ruling in 2004 that overturned that. What this bill does on page 2, lines 7 through 11, it makes it clear that the sole proprietor, any corporation, LLC, partnership, electing coverage for workers' comp can get it. And on down to the bottom of page 2, you'll see new language inserted there. What that does, if it has other employees, means that you can't just, the owner of the company, if he has other employees, just can't cover himself with workers' comp. He has to cover everyone with workers' comp if he elects to cover himself. So with that, I'd stand for any questions.
Is there any other discussion on the bill? Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Harvey's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Senate File number 51 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 61. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 61 from the Transportation Committee, an act relating to education, providing for resident tuition for military veterans at the University of Wyoming and community colleges as specified, providing a definition and providing for an effective date. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 2, Appropriations, To whom was referred Senate File 61, engrossed Veterans Resident Tuition Provisions, reports back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. There were seven aye votes, zero no votes, signed by Representative Harshman, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Chairman Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with a recommendation that Senate File 61 do pass, and there are no standing committee amendments. This bill was actually sent directly to appropriations, but I'm going to go ahead and do the explanation on the bill. What this bill allows is for veterans that are returning back to this area, and if they've been discharged within the last year, an honorable discharge, and or if they were attending the university within the last year, this would allow them to go from out-of-state tuition to in-state tuition. And that's basically what this bill does. Last session we heard this bill, this body did, and it passed out of here 59 with one excused. Just ran out of time over in the other house. So this particular time they started the bill over in the other side, and it's coming over to see us. As you know, the University of Wyoming is kind of listed as one of the top 10 universities in the country, and so that's a lot of the reason why a lot of veterans like to come here, because they're able to afford it to get in. You'll notice there is a fiscal note on this note from the University of Wyoming, but they are not, I repeat, not asking for any additional funds to cover the cost of that. They feel that they need to step toe-to-toe with all the other universities and institutions in the nation that provide this service, and they want to just jump in with those. And so they're actually real excited to be able to participate in this. So I think without any other further ado, I'll stand for questions.
Chairman Zwanitzer, I believe we have a committee of a whole amendment.
Do have a committee of the whole amendment. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I move committee of the whole amendment number one and ask for your favorable consideration. What this does is it allows for those folks, especially those that who just returned from their mission here not too long ago, to take advantage of going to summer school. So it makes the effective date, it changes from July 1st, and makes it effective immediately, and then we added a little disclosure in there. So basically, it allowed them to take advantage, if they so desire, to start in the summer school session as compared to wait until the fall session. And with that, I would ask for any questions, and if not, I would call for the vote on that one.
All those in favor of committee of the whole amendment number one, please say aye. Those opposed? The amendment is adopted. We're back on the bill. Any other discussion on the bill? Chairman Tweeter.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to make sure that I understand the bill correctly. I know that under the current regime, that if you are claiming residency here, that you would be eligible for tuition. And claiming residency is just as easy as saying that I am claiming Wyoming as my domicile, as the place I intend to return. So my concern is, are we going to create a situation where we have people throughout the United States that are just going to come to our university and be able to go there on in-state tuition? I don't see any protection against that. We, in the Hathaway Scholarship, I know I've done some work on the students of people who continue to claim residency. Those kids were not born here. Their parents are in the military, and because those people are claiming residency here, even though they were never born here, they never lived here, we are allowing them to use the Hathaway Scholarship, and that happens because their parents were previously claiming residency, and as they traveled through the military, they maintained that residency by claiming it. So how are we going to prevent a million service people from claiming residency in Wyoming?
Representative Feiler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think, for those questions that Chairman brought to us, if you look on page 2, line 20, it says, documented evidence that a veteran has taken steps to establish residency in Wyoming. But what you can do is in the military, you can automatically, immediately establish residency of where you're at by changing your home of record, or your HOR. So you can actually get on the computer and you actually say, well, I'm changing my home of record. I'm from, say, the Keystone State, but I want to reside in Wyoming so I can change my home of record. And that becomes immediately, in the eyes of the military department, that establishes your residency in this state. It's not hard to do, but I think with that page 2, line 20, that documented evidence that the veteran has taken steps to establish residency in Wyoming, that'd be the easiest step for any military veteran to do.
Representative Zwanisser.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And just to follow up with the fine representative, the reason this bill comes to you in the color of blue is because on the original bill that was written, it listed the pieces of documents that we would need. So understand that it says here that evidence that the veteran has taken steps to establish residency in Wyoming. And they originally had listed a Wyoming voter's registration card, a driver's license, vehicle registration, evidence of employment. And the reason it turned to blue, they did away with all of those listings, and they just added the word documented evidence on page 2, line 20. So just say, instead of saying evidence that the veteran has taken steps to establish residency in Wyoming, it says documented evidence. And remember, this does not give them a free ride for all 4 years. It basically only for the first year, because if they're coming to establish residency or have making an attempt, there is a paragraph back here where some cases you're trying to do everything you can to get here, but it might take you a second year. But they're going to become residents. And so in theory, the second, third, fourth year and thereon, they will be residents and, of course, then have the residency tuition. So this should be just for the first year.
Chairman Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I'm not hating on the bill. I don't want you to get the wrong message. I just am concerned that the sideboards that the Senate had in place the body across the hall, were for a reason, and that was to prevent mischief. I think if you have a blanket statement that documented evidence that they are taking steps could mean literally anything, and that could be fabricated very easily. And I'm not saying we don't want to extend this opportunity to these people, but there are no protections in this bill to prevent 100,000 people coming in this state and getting residency or getting this tuition break.
Chairman Zwanisser.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Be aware that it's actually the other side that took those out and put the word documented, so it didn't happen on this side. But we would be happy to take an amendment, and we could argue that in a conference committee and see what exactly, if you guys want to go with the fact that they have to produce certain evidence, and we're fine there. But we would hope that you would go with the concept. It came out of this body a year ago with flying colors, and it's the right thing to do. The university and the community colleges are 100% behind this. They're asking for no reimbursement of their expenses, and they're looking forward to getting a little more enrollment. I may have misspoke, too, when I said, and not totally misspoke, but when I was talking about the university being one of the top 10 in the country, it was one of the top 10 bargains in the country. And then we could argue if it's the top 10 university, which I believe it is, but it's one of the best bargains when you want to go to a university, college, place to go is here at UW. Thank you.
Is there any other discussion on the bill? Are you ready for the question? Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Zwanisser's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with recommendation that Senate File 61 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Senate File 61 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 71. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 71 from the Management Audit Committee, an act relating to administration of government, modifying provisions relating to the reversion of appropriated funds, excluding appropriations for certain purposes from reversion provisions, requiring certification and providing for an effective date. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred Senate File 71, Reversion of Appropriations, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. There were 7 aye votes, 0 no votes, signed by Representative Harshman, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Harshman?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Senate File 71 do pass and would turn over the explanation of the bill to the good chairman of the Management Audit Committee.
Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Senate File 71, Reversion of Appropriations. We had Senate File 70 a couple of days ago on lapsing funds when a group hasn't spent the money during the spending period, how the funds are handled, whether you can keep them going into the future or whether they lapse and get returned to the general fund. We had some corrections because of the B11 audit, where it was determined that IT projects, information technology projects, were not exempted from the reversion statutes. This bill allows them to be exempted only if it's been certified by the chief information officer. Part of the bill also exempts their capital outlays, and the reason for all this is because sometimes contracting for IT services results in more than a 1 or 2 year contract period. It can go on into the future quite a bit. We also had some questions in committee about whether Senate File 70 and Senate File 71 had some conflicting language in them. They actually do, but those will be fixed with technical corrections, because if one or the other bill didn't pass, things will need to be adjusted. So with that, I'd be happy to answer any further questions on this.
Is there any other discussion on the bill? Are you ready for a question?
Question.
Question being called on, all those in favor of Chairman Harshman's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with recommendation that Senate File 71 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Senate File 71 has passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 33. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 33 from the Revenue Committee. An act relating to ad valorem taxation, specifying the appeal process for property assessment, providing for the hearing conducted by the County Board of Equalization, providing rulemaking authority, repealing a duplicative provision, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 3, Revenue, to whom is referred Senate File 33, County Board of Equalization-2, respectfully report saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with amendments. There were 9 aye votes, 0 no votes, signed by Representative Madden, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Madden?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Bill Number 33, or Senate File 33, do pass. And I further move the adoption of the Standing Committee Amendment, and I will explain all of this.
Please, Mr. Chairman Madden.
Ladies and gentlemen of the House, we had a good discussion about this bill, and it was discussed a couple of times during the interim as well. And we had a meeting on Monday where it was discussed. We had all the right people there, all the affected people there, and I think we got a pretty good bill. Now, the first one I want to talk about, and just get them out of the way, is the Standing Committee Amendment Number 33 had a number of different spots in it. And if you look at the first one is line 114, line 1, or page 1, line 14. We did some wordsmithing there, and the way it will appear now is, as you see on line 16, the county assessor will notify, any person whose property assessment has been increased by the county Board of Equalization. And then for page 3, line 1, there is some discussion on whether we should index this date on when the information has to be exchanged and attach it to when the Board of Equalization hearing is or after the filing of the appeal. And there is unanimity of opinion that it should go back to the stricken language, you see. And the difference would be that we changed it to 30 days rather than 15 because 30 days was too short. The other thing we did is in not line 11 on page 3, the appeal shall be dismissed. Because what the original language was, this standing committee amendment makes it less harsh and says it may be dismissed. And then we turned around the statement on line 23 and 24, where we instead of talking about not irrelevant, we talked about bring any evidence that's relevant, material, and not unduly repetitious. Just makes it a little bit more user-friendly for the taxpayer. So I would move for a vote on the Standing Committee Amendment 1.
You've heard the motion on the Standing Committee Amendment. Are you ready for the question? Question having been called, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The Standing Committee Amendment number 1 has been adopted. We're back on the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Then I have a Committee of the Whole Amendment number 1, which changes, and this is very important, it changes the effective date from July 1, 2014 to January 1, 2015. And this is something our committee just missed during the discussion. But the obvious reason for this is that the tax appeal season comes before July 1. So if a taxpayer would appeal his valuation, it would be under the existing rules right now, and if it carries on into the fall or any time after July 1, we'd be under new rules. So quite reasonably, everybody agrees, or, you know, got in touch with me, said that that's got to be changed because we don't want to change laws in the middle of an appeal season. So I'd move adoption of this Committee of the Whole Amendment number 1 also.
So we're on Committee of the Whole Amendment number 1. Is there any other discussion? Representative Stubson.
Mr. Chairman, I would just move a technical correction to the amendment to change the year 2105 to 2015.
Oh, is that the way it appears? Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. Is there any other discussion on the amendment? All those in favor of the Committee of the Whole Amendment number 1, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? The amendment is adopted. We're back on the bill. Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll be very brief because in my discussion of the Standing Committee Amendment, I pretty much described the bill. What the genesis of this bill was that there was a need discovered during the interim process that there was some lack of uniformity in the property tax appeal process among our counties, and that wouldn't normally be a problem except, you know, part of the process involves the possibility of moving these through to the State Board of Equalization, and some counties were more prone to be doing that than others, and there are other examples as far as recording minutes and recording the proceedings of appeals and things like that that were not uniform, and of course the State Board of Equalization is the ones that has to bear the brunt of this heterogeneous flow of information coming from all 23 counties. So to make a long story short, what we did, aside from doing a little bit of reorganization, such as what you see at the bottom of page 1 and onto the top of page 2. We just lifted that out of the lower part on lines 8 through 13, so it's in the right place. So that's an aside. But the rest of it, the most important thing to notice is that starting on line 16 on page 3, we outline and specify a process for the Board of Equalization to adopt rules for to be followed by any county Board of Equalization when conducting appeals. And it turns out the testimony we got, there are some counties that have more of these than others, and some of them don't have any appeals whatsoever. So whenever they do, it says there, here's a set of rules that they're going to have prepared for them, and this will be a ready for the 2015 tax appeal season, which generally starts in the June of each year, and it'll be June of 2015. The other change you'll see at the bottom, number 21, a complete record of the action from which the appeal is taken shall be transmitted to the board in a timely manner as specified by the board rules and regulations. And that's when there's appeal outcomes that cause the taxpayer to want to have it reviewed by the State Board of Equalization. So that's basically the bill. Our outcome is what we're hoping is that we have kind of equal protection under the law established for the entire state of Wyoming, in no matter which county you happen to live in. So I'll try to answer any questions if you have any.
Representative Greer.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Question for the Chairman of Revenue. On page 4, line 5 and 6, And I just want to understand the discussion or if this was discussed. If we talk in terms of all deliberations of the board shall be in public. Now, the board's acting in a quasi-judicial capacity here, taking evidence. To me, it seems as if they would be able to deliberate privately. And so I'm just curious what the discussion was on that point.
Chairman Madden, please.
Well, thank you. As a matter of fact, there was discussion on that among a county commissioner that was there and among us, and that was a debatable thing. And I guess we weren't, at least I'm speaking for myself, I wasn't convinced that dealing with a tax appeal in private is an appropriate thing for transparency from the standpoint of the public. I think that the public wants to be assured that if there is a change in valuation that's discovered, that it would be discovered publicly and it wouldn't be discovered behind some closed doors and after an executive session was adjourned. You know, it's a judgment thing, and maybe there's reason to look at it both ways. I don't know.
Representative Greer.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, and maybe the Chairman of Judiciary has a comment on this, but my thoughts are is the full process, the whole hearing should be public, and the findings should be public. I'm just curious as if the board can't get together and deliberate, much like a jury would or a judge would go back and think to himself, just to allow them to come to their result. And that's why here, when I see the term deliberation, I'm not thinking about the process of taking evidence and testimony or setting forth a result. I'm just looking at just that time when they get together and talk things through as a board.
Chairman Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. There's actually some case law on this, and I can give it to you later, but the Board of Equalization is acting under the Administrative Procedures Act, so they can't deliberate in private. And I'll get you the case law. They came through the Supreme Court. They have to actually do their deliberations in public when they do them.
Any other discussion on the bill? Are you ready for a question? Question being called, all those in favor of Chairman Madden's motion that when the committee of the whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Senate File 33 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Senate File 33 has passed the committee of the whole. The next bill for our consideration will be Senate File 16. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 16 from the Corporations Committee, an act relating to insurance, amending the Life and Health Insurance Guarantee Association Act, providing definitions, increasing coverage limits for long-term care, disability, and health insurance and annuity products, clarifying coverage of non-residents, providing coverage for structured settlement annuity contracts, repealing distinction between domestic and foreign impaired insurers, providing authority for legal actions and subrogation claims, providing for authorizing, calling, and protesting assessments, eliminating a notification of non-coverage requirements, providing for applicability, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom was referred Senate File 16, reports saying back with the House that it do pass. There were 9 aye votes, 0 no votes, signed by Representative Berger, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Berger?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Senate File 16 do pass. There are no standing committee amendments, and I would defer to the Vice Chairman Zwanitzer to explain the bill. He promises me that he will not go through all 45 pages.
Representative Zwanitzer, we will hold you to that.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think I have about 6 minutes, so I will take you down the wonderful road of Wyoming Life and Health Insurance. I was pleased last week to give you the longest bill of the session outside of the budget. This is the second longest bill of the session outside of the budget, but you'll be happy to know it's a model act, which actually takes the 2009 Insurance Commissioners Health and Life Guarantee Association Model Act and updates it to 2014. Basically, what we have here is the association, which oversees these groups, has brought to us the model act updates to keep us in line with every other state as we move forward. They have reviewed the Model Act and seek the following revisions to the statute to make it consistent with the Model Act. The main change we're looking at here in this is the aggregate coverage available. We're expanding that from $300,000 to $500,000. Other major changes in the bill include strengthening the definitions and modifying provisions to facilitate consistency among state guarantee associations involved in multi-state insolvencies. We're also activating individual state guarantee associations, and we're clarifying the coverages available and the assessments made to provide those coverages. Walking you through the bill semi-quickly, but if anybody has more questions, I'm happy to go through each page in depth. First section, 2342.102 on the definitions. These are all actually Model Act technical changes, which just account for the new clarifying language found in the new Model Act. Ensure conformity across each state. Major new definitions you'll see if you go through there are benefit plan, covered policy, extra contractual claim, the definition for impaired insurer, the definition for owner, plan sponsor, premiums, principal place of business, receivership court, resident, structured settlement annuity, supplemental contract, and my favorite, unallocated annuity. Moving past definitions, in the 2642.103, we have coverage and limitations. This is where you find that main part of the bill where the aggregate limit for policyholders is going from $300,000 to $500,000 a year. It also covers the products and the benefit packages covered and clarifies some of those limits. I'm going to skip through all 20 of those sections if nobody has any questions, but I'm happy to come back to them. Moving on to 2642.105 is just the Board of Directors. We're not doing any major changes to this section. Then we get into 106, which covers the powers and duties of the association, basically describing when a guarantee association is triggered, what its obligations and options are once it gets triggered. You'll see that we have A through Z in there. Happy to cover any of those should anyone want to hear about them. Moving on to 107, we have assessments, and this addresses the member insurers to provide funds to their association so they can fulfill their obligations under the statute. This is the same Model Act language every other state has as well. Happy to talk about that, but seeing nobody get up for questions yet, I'm going to keep going. In 42109, the duties and the powers of the commissioner generally remain unchanged from the Model Act in 2009. In 112, we're talking about assessment liability. This is all, again, in accordance with the Model Act. We do now require the records of meetings with the Board of Directors of the Guarantee Association must be maintained. Otherwise, we have a stay of proceedings. It follows the Model Act. We're actually moving the proceedings where an insolvent insurer has to be stayed up to 180 days instead of 60. Happy to answer questions on that. But seeing none, that basically covers the heart of the bill. This was reviewed by our good friends down the hall, word by word, line by line, and they didn't find a single change with it. So, and we've gone through it three times in the interim. It's a good model act. Happy to talk about it some more if anybody would like me to. Otherwise, I will sit.
Are there any discussions on this short bill? Are you ready for a question? Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Berger's motion that when the Committee of the Whole arises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Senate File 16 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Senate File 16 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Chairman, I move the Committee of the Whole rise and report.
Reading clerk will read the Committee of the Whole report.
Mr. Speaker, the Committee of the Whole, having had under consideration bills on general file, beg to leave report as follows. Senate File 12, amended, recommended do pass. Senate File 78, amended, recommended do pass. Senate File 79, amended and further amended and recommended do pass. Senate File 38, recommended do pass. Senate File 46, recommended do pass. Senate File 60, recommended do pass. Senate File 41, recommended do pass. Senate File 43, amended, recommended do pass. Senate File 51, recommended do pass. Senate File 61, amended, recommended do pass. Senate File 71, recommended do pass. Senate File 33, amended and further amended, recommended do pass. Senate File 16, recommended do pass. Signed by Representative Larson, Chairman.
Representative Larson. Mr. Speaker, I move the adoption of the Committee of the Whole report. You have heard the motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Committee of the Whole report has been adopted. Congratulations, Representative Larson. Without order of business of messages from the Senate.
Mr. Speaker, the Senate has completed consideration of the budget bill, House Bill number 1. In accordance with JR 14-1, the bill has been referred directly to a conference committee of 5 members to meet with a like committee from the House to report recommended amendments for final consideration by both houses with respect to both budget bills. House Bill 1 and Senate File 1 and the amendments thereto. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 181. Mr. Speaker, the President appointed the Senate conferees to meet with a like committee. Number 1 from the House on amendments to House Bill number 1. The Senate conferees are Senator Bebout, Chairman, Senator Perkins, Senator Meyer, Senator Hastert, Senator Dockstader, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 182. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate File 11, appropriation for the legislature, 30 ayes, 0 noes. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 183. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate File 30, compensation for persons exonerated based on DNA evidence. Ayes 26, noes 4. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 184. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate File 80, real estate licensures revisions. Ayes 29, noes 1. Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 185. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate File 91, Digital Information Privacy Task Force. Ayes 25, noes 5. Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 186. The bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading in amended form by the vote indicated. Senate File 96, Workforce Services Independent Contractors. Ayes 26, noes 4. Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 187, Mr. Speaker. The bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading in amended form by the vote indicated. Senate File 113, Task Force on Expansion of Natural Gas Service. Ayes 25, noes 5. Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 188, Mr. Speaker. The bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading in amended form by the vote indicated. Senate File 117, Summary Probate Proceedings. Ayes 30, noes 0. Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 189, Mr. Speaker. The bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate File 39, Grand Teton National Park, Transfer of State Lands. Ayes 18, noes 12. Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk.
With that order of business of reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 1, Judiciary, to whom was referred Senate File 28, Engrossed Post-Conviction Actual Innocence, respectfully reports back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Baker, Connolly, Gingrey, Halverson, Croker, Crone, Miller, and Walt, and Walters voted no, Representative Gingrey, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred Senate File 64, Public Health Nursing, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Blickery, Escobel, Harshman, Moniz, Nicholas, Stubson, Representative Burkhart voted no, signed by Representative Harshman, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom was referred Senate File 21, Engrossed Insurance Own Risk Solvency Model Act, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Berger, Byrd, Gay, Green, Kirkbride, Mader, Paxton, Petroff, and Danswanser, signed by Representative Danswanser, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom was referred Senate File 57, Engrossed Reduction of Boards and Commissions, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Berger, Byrd, Green, Kirkbride, Mader, Paxton, Petroff, Danswanser, Representative Gay voted no, signed by Representative Danswanser, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom was referred Senate File 74, Unemployment Insurance Coverage, Fiduciaries, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Berger, Byrd, Gay, Green, Kirkbride, Mader, Paxton, Petroff, and Danswanser, signed by Representative Danswanser, Vice Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom was referred Senate File 76, Unemployment Insurance Worker Misconduct, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Barlow, Coleman, Green, Harvey, Kasperic, Larson, and Wilson, 2 no votes, Representative Filer and Throne, signed by Representative Harvey, Chairman.
With that order of business of re-referral of bills, Chairman Sumlet.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would move for the re-referral of Senate File 66 to Committee Number 2 as it has an appropriation.
Without objection, it is so ordered. Brothers and sisters of the 68th, in an attempt to, we've had complaints over the years that people don't know when and how and where joint conference committees are meeting. So if you are appointed chairman of a joint conference committee, there is now a form you have to fill out that tells
the Joint Conference Committee, the bill number, the meeting date, the meeting time, and the location. You are to turn that into the chief clerk as soon as you get that meeting time, date, and location, and then they will post it on the website so that people have notice of the time and place of the meeting. That being said, the Conference Committee on House Bill Number 1, Senate File Number 1, will be Representative Harshman, Chair, Representative Brown, Nicholas, Stubson, and Throne. We are at that order of business of committee announcements. Madam Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 7, Corporations, will meet on Thursday upon noon recess to hear Senate Files 17, 107, 25, and 24. And that will be on Thursday at noon, the 27th.
Chairman Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Point of clarification before I do my announcement. On these conference committee reports, there's no time limit on that, is there? When we have to submit the notice for the meeting, because we don't have notice. I mean, there's no way to know from one moment to the next.
The minute that you know, if you would turn it in, that would be good.
Okay. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 4, Education, will meet upon adjournment Wednesday, February 26th in room 302 to consider Senate File 106 if introduced and referred. Senate File 3, Senate File 4, and Senate File 5.
Chairman Davison.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, will meet Wednesday morning at 8 o'clock, and we'll take up SF 48, Cultural Trust Fund Board Membership, and SF 94, Game and Fish Resident Preference Points.
Chairman Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number 8, Transportation, Highway, and Military Affairs, will meet approximately 10 minutes after adjournment today in House 17 to hear two bills, Senate File 58 in Gross National Guard Service Governor's Authority, and Senate File 59 in Gross Specific Service Signage on Highways.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 9 will meet Wednesday morning at 8:30 in room H18 to consider two Senate files, Senate File 83, Oil and Gas Operations Bonding Requirement, and Senate File 53, Engrossed Unfair Trade Practices.
Chairman Gingery.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 1 will meet tomorrow morning, 8 a.m., to hear SF-34 Involuntary Hospitalization Emergency Hearings.
Chairman Arby.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, will meet Wednesday, February 26th, 10 minutes after adjournment in room 817 to consider the following bills, Senate File 89 Engrossed, Health Professionals, Medicaid Billing.
Committee number 12 will meet upon adjournment to consider Senate File 67, Administrative Rules Streamlining, Senate File 68, Obsolete Laws, and a forklift load of proposed rule changes. Mr. Majority Whip.
May I have the privilege of the floor?
Certainly.
Members of the body, the Capitol Commission Bible study, which is usually held on Wednesday mornings, will be instead joining the, hopefully, a big chunk of you at the governor's prayer breakfast tomorrow morning.
Mr. Majority.
7 a.m.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House adjourn until tomorrow, February 26, 2014, at 10 o'clock a.m.
Before we vote, we have a musical interlude. Representative Blake. And Representative Winters. Thank you. You heard the motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. House is adjourned till tomorrow, February 26, 2014 at 10 a.m.